This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I will not spend my weekend covered in drywall dust.
I will simply fix the leaky faucet.
I will not go to a store so big
it has its own zip code.
I will go to Ace.
And I will get it done fast.
And then I will not leave the couch till Monday morning.
Get four select Ace insecticides for $2.99 each with an extra $2 mail-in rebate. At Ace, the helpful place. Limit four rebates total for purchases made at participating Ace stores July 14 through 19. Additional conditions apply. See store for details.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to...
Newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets passed, knocked away, Marischka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be. Yep.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, welcome to a Thursday Doug and Daddy Show. Folks, you can enjoy a Big 12 preview today. Chris Level from RedRaidersports.com coming at you to feature. Take a look at the Texas Tech Red Raiders. That is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, Joe DeMeo, Fantasy Players Edge, as always on Thursday, right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you've got any fantasy questions, shoot us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, or give us a phone call, 1-888-455-3776. If you got thoughts on the British Open,
special guest John Daly will be joining us at the end of the program today as well, Daddy.
That would be lovely.
I wanted to let you know that.
I'm looking forward to that.
We're efforting.
Let me get to it. Something we have not done, folks. We get to select our preseason offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, newcomer of the year, all Big 12 conference teams, the way we see the North, the way we see the South coming down. If you've got thoughts out there, maybe, you know, the newcomer of the year is total subjectiveness. You look at it any way you want to. If you've got somebody that's catching your eye out there, somebody you've read about in a magazine, want us to take note of, certainly send that our way. We'd appreciate to get your thoughts. Maybe you've got an offensive defensive player of the year. My offensive player of the year is Gerard Johnson. Gerard Johnson, quarterback of Texas A&M. My defensive player of the year is Von Miller, defensive tackle, defensive end slash linebacker for Texas A&M. He led the nation in sacks a year ago. Just going off, he led the nation in sacks. That's why he's my player of the year. I would have loved to have homered Jarrett Crick.
Well, there's no way that Texas A&M will have the offensive and defensive players of the year. That's why I didn't do that. That's why I didn't put him on mine. I think the offensive player of the year is going to be somebody that right now, we don't know who it is. I'm going to tell you what. I told you this off-air. I think Roy Helu is going to have a huge year for the Huskers, and I'm sure people are going to laugh. Rex Burkhead! Rex Burkhead's going to be one of the reasons he has a huge year. I'm not saying Roy Helu is going to be the offensive player of the year, but it's somebody like that. Somebody that is good and is going to have an excellent year like Daniel Thomas did from Kansas State last year. You got guys coming off injury like Robert Griffin, like the running back from Oklahoma State and Hunter. You've got a lot of guys out there. I think, in all honesty, maybe DeMarco Murray has the best chance. If Oklahoma's going to win the South, he's probably got to have a big year and help Landry Jones along. But I think right now, your offensive player of the year, when we get to the end, and that's the way I look at it, who will be the offensive player of the year? Who will be the defensive player of the year? Not who was great last year. I mean, who's the best coming back? Who will be? That's why I think our offensive player of the year probably isn't even on our list of the 11 guys preseason all-conference. Probably isn't even on that list.
You selected Jared Crick as your defensive player, whether that's a homer pick or not.
It is a homer pick. You know what?
I wanted to select Jared
A-holes
Crick.
A-holes in Texas pick Texas kids. There's fewer A-holes in Nebraska to pick Nebraska kids, so I'm going to be an A-hole and pick Jared Crick. Why not? He has the credentials that some people, and one of our guys told us that they like Jared Crick as well when we talked to John Walters from Iowa State, talked to to some other people from around the area. Then, Jared Crick could be, and we'll see. We're halfway home here on our 12 teams in 12 days, if anybody else. But that's whatever. Here's the important thing today, Daddy.
Well, before you get to the important thing of the day, I thought, in my defense, I thought I homered the all Big 12 conference teams as much as I could homer them. I've got Niles Paul. I've got Mike McNeil. I've got Ricky Henry on the line. I've got Roy Helu as a running back beside DeMarco Murray. I've got Alex Henry. I've got Niles Paul, again, as a punt returner. On the defensive side of the ball, I've got two defensive backs in Dejon Gomes and Prince Amakamura. I've got Jared Crick. I put that many Huskers on the All-Big 12 team.
See, that's more than me, and I think there's nothing wrong with that, because if Nebraska is supposed to be a top 10, possibly a top 5 team in the country, then they should have that many talented players to be on there with Texas, Oklahoma, and those other teams sprinkled throughout. I mean, Nebraska, the last few years, one, maybe two guys you could legit put on there. I've got Crick on there. I've got Pierre Allen on there. On the defense, on the offense, I did put Roy Helu on there. Alex Henry as the place kicker, I've got him on there. And Niles Paul, I put him as a wide receiver as opposed to a kick returner because I didn't know. I just thought he fit better at the wide receiver spot. There's so much wide open on the offense this year that you just don't know. Heck, there's some of the magazines you read. I think it was let me check here real quick, Tony. I want to check and see. There's one team that some magazines have first team all Big 12, and it's from Texas A&M, their wide receiver core. Like Phil Steele has this Uzoma, the kid you can't pronounce his name, first team. Then there's another one, David Ubbin from ESPN.com has another Texas A&M wide receiver as one of his top 20 players in the league overall, and that kid's not even on the four deep here in Phil Steele. So that just tells you how much difference there is when it comes to this conference. It is wide open. I don't know that it's going to be wide open the way it ends the season, you know, like somebody that's picked fifth might win the right. North or South. When it comes down to it, I don't think the teams, even if Oklahoma and Texas are supposed to be down, the other teams are not near on the upswing enough to overtake them. And if Nebraska just does what they're supposed to do and can have solid quarterback play, they are the favorite in the North. And then I can't see Iowa State or Kansas battling for second place. You know, that leaves it open. A lot of people can't see Kansas State or Colorado battling for it, so I guess we'll see.
But I just wanted to get that out there, Doug. Hey, you're such a big part of the show. We appreciate the emails. We appreciate the phone calls. If you've got thoughts on who the offensive, who the defensive, any of your thoughts, we appreciate them right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Phil, get a birdie, for God's sakes. Really?
What's this? McIlroy just birdied again.
Yeah, good, great round. Okay, you can make fun of me because I said he wouldn't win it. You didn't pick him.
He wouldn't even.
You didn't pick
you
him.
Said, no,
you
that's not what you him. Said. You said he will not even have a sniff of it, will not be around it. Let's go to the tape.
We will go to the tape.
Justin Rose.
I know.
No chance. There's
what'd
a better chance
what'd
of
he shoot
icicles
hey,
and
what Rose
hello.
Shoot? Hey, over-dramatization guy. Whatever. Yeah, but right, I said McIlroy wouldn't win. I said that. I said Rose would be farther out. I said that. It's day one. But really, Mickelson? Really? Really?
Something about
I like
that.
Tiger. He got through a day. Curtis Strange must want to punch Tiger. He throws him under the bus. He threw him under the bus again today a little bit. Oh, I think he knows he didn't play well. Really? 5-under?
Other than the German guy you see on the leaderboard, John Daly.
Oosthuizen?
Yeah, that guy.
Oosthuizen?
That sounds like a beer you'd order in Germany.
I'll take it Oosthuizen. Louis Oosthuizen is 7-under. That's what he finished at. So McIlroy at 9 in the house. Oosthuizen at 7. 6-under for John Daly. Stephen Tilley. how the hell is he going to get your sprinkler system in if he's over there golfing?
Riz has got the day off.
Andrew Coulthart was out there early. Bradley Dredge is on the course, 5-under through 16 holes right now. Lee Westwood's got it to 5-under through 12 after a slow start, but then ran off a string of birdies. Those at 5-under that are in the clubhouse include Tiger Woods, Sean O'Hare, Lucas Glover, Nick Watney. So there you go.
That's your name group.
Well, there are a ton of players under par today. If you don't get it, if you're not at 3 today, go home.
Yeah.
Of course, you could shoot 9 tomorrow and you'll be at 12. So whatever. I think you need to get to 3 today to stay in contention. 4-under right now is in a huge tie for 15. So it's not like you're going to be way, way back position-wise, but you're going to be backstroke-wise. So we'll see. Big, important news today, Daddy. Usually they put laws into effect at the first of the year, first of the month. I don't know. Is this the fiscal start of the year, mid-July for some people? Don't text anymore while you're driving, bro. Law today, if you get caught texting while you're driving, $200 fine.
Really?
Yeah, First offense. Huh? Really?
Nighty-night, Stifler.
$200. First offense, texting while driving, if I have read my information correct. Okay, so here's the deal. To help the general public, because it's not just kids that do this, I text while driving. Not a lot, very rarely, and not books. One word, two words, that's it. Open road. Not driving down the middle of Central Avenue or driving down the middle of Webb Road in Grand Island or driving down Burlington and Hastings. Not texting. On the interstate, maybe. Maybe. I'm just saying I've done it, so I'm not. If you get pulled over, what's your excuse? I've come up with, I wasn't texting, officer. I was just changing my phone from vibrate to ring.
Nice.
There's got to be a lot of things to do there that's not texting. You got an idea. You get pulled over for texting. What's one that the officer will not haul you into jail for?
Or not give you the $200 fine.
Well, exactly. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, or email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's have a little fun today. What's a very good reason? He sees you. The only reason he's going to pull you over is because you've got the phone in your hand, and it's not up to your ear. So you got to come up with a reason you were looking at your phone. We'll take a break.
You know what? You got the internet. You're checking the weather.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. And Chris Level to help us continue our 12 teams in 12 days from RedRaidersports.com to preview Texas Tech. He'll be coming up here in just a little bit as well. It's the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio. We're going to give you a chance. In fact, let's do it right now going into the break. We're going to be giving away sets of tickets to the Cox Classic. And I want to get you registered, and we'll probably do it two or three different ways. We might have a trivia question someday. We're going to get some folks registered. We're going to draw out a name. These are for clubhouse tickets to the Cox Classic any day, July 29th through August 1st. Your opportunity to go to the Cox Classic nationwide tour in Omaha. As we go to break, Merritt's going to take your phone calls. If you would like to get registered, call now. 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN, a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Cox Classic back after this.
Let's take a look where Hurricane Katrina is.
First Katrina, then the oil spills. Now more than ever, you need to see this important film at the Hastings Museum.
We were more vulnerable than we knew. Now, on the giant screen, take a remarkable journey into the heart of America before and after the storm. Explore the vanishing wetlands of Louisiana, nature's defense against hurricanes, and discover the place that holds the secret to survival. Hurricane on the Bayou, narrated by Meryl Streep, only in giant screen theaters, presented by the Weather Channel.
Now playing at the Hastings Museum Superscreen. Log on to hastingsmuseum.org for showtime. Brought to you by KLN-KGIN Television and by the stations of Platte River Radio, including The Breeze 94.5, Classic Hits 98.9, KHS Radio, Hastings Link 1230 AM, and ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble.
Uh-oh.
On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse a mile north of Grand Island on 281 for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
The Weather Bureau in Kansas City has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for portions of central Nebraska between the hours...
This is Nebraska. This is the season of severe weather, and it can happen at any time, and it can cause all kinds of damage. If your car or truck's been involved in a hail or wind damage, you need to know that you do have a friend at Eustis Body Shop. They turn damage into a brand new look. Call for a free estimate at any of our locations, Grand Island, Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, or Eustis. We're Eustis Body Shop.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill, their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing, or how about their outstanding prime rib. Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sun developing today. Slight chance for an isolated shower or storm early. Variable winds, high of 86. Low in the mid-60s tonight with partly cloudy skies. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently, it's 77.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
Yeah, baby! Hall County Fair tonight. Yeah, keep that up, Merritt. Right there, brah. Best version of Okie from Muskogee ever right here. Merle Haggard tonight. Me and the cronies going. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. That's right. Do what you want. Say what you do. Whatever. Some of you people are going to Air Supply, so you can kiss it. All right? I will be heading to Merle Haggard and John Conley tonight. Mixing it up. A little country, a little rock. It doesn't matter. Woo.
Merle Haggard.
Yeah. You won't go.
I just don't understand. I have the velvet voice of not Merle Haggard.
It's an event.
That's cool.
John Conley. Here. Okay, pull up the John Conley, would you, there, Merritt? Because John's going to open tonight for Merle Haggard, who's just got a ton of them moving on. Rainbow Stew. Are the good times really over? It's pulled up. It's there. It's already open, Merritt.
Hey,
oh, you've just lost points.
Russ chimes in about your little deal.
Right here. Here's John. Here's Daniel. See, John Conley. Rose-colored glasses, of course. But this one has a lot of things that are near and dear to your heart. This is like a country song that has a little bit of everything. Love. Food, drinking.
It's kind of got that Jimmy Buffett feel to it.
A little bit. But this won't be at Gulf Shores. See, here's two of your favorite things.
Let me drive us to McDonald's and I'll talk to you.
See, you know, you like McDonald's. Really, here's Daddy's theme song.
I'm just a common man, drive a common van. My dog ain't got a pedigree.
See, your dog, no pedigree.
If I have my
See, there you go.
Gonna stay that way.
There you go.
This is going on in Grand Island tonight.
This is tonight, Grand Island. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Tomorrow night, they've got a rock concert going on there. And then Saturday, a Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Air Supply going on. So
Air Supply, I would know.
That's the way it should be. A little bit of something from every genre that you want to go to. I mean, you're going to take care of the youngsters and the rock fans tomorrow. You're going to take care of the country fans today. You're going to take care of the golden oldie fans, the classic hit fans like we play on 98.9 on Saturday. A little bit of everything. And the Buffalo County Fair presents Crickets Chirping. Yeah! Woo! All right! Yeah, I took a shot. Hastings has got three great country acts. Grand Island has got three acts.
I like to slide at the Buffalo County Fair. You go down the gunny
side. Well, we love that. Yes. Obviously, the entertainment on the...
Midway.
On the Midway is the word I'm looking for. Outstanding. Outstanding. Anyway...
I hope...
I'm getting a lot of email and text
now. I wish Chet would get an opportunity to meet Merle. That would be a treat.
Our friend Chet?
Yes. I really wish.
I just hope Chet's in fine form today.
Oh, Hill will be in fine form.
Who qualified? We had some qualifiers. We're going to put their names in the hopper for the Cox Classic that we're going to be drawing out next week. Who we got so far?
We got Greg from McCook and Dick from Kearney, and then we got Troy from North Platte, and he also said that he was reading the paper and said that the texting thing was a secondary offense. It's similar to the seatbelt thing from what he read in the paper, so they can't pull you over directly for that.
Troy, congratulations. I didn't know people in North Platte could read.
Oh, God.
That's right. Shots all over the place today. What do you got?
Well, Russ chimes in and says he's eating chicken fried and still driving just fine. Must be enjoying a lovely chicken fried steak going down the road.
Was he Zach Browning it up? I don't know. Speaking of Zach, this comes from Jordan in Kearney, who says, Doug and Daddy, recently while skimming the blogs and apparently on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up, they are saying that Zach Lee is not coming along very quickly. What kind of effect is that going to have on the receivers as well as Cody and T-Mart? Thanks. T. Martinez, Cody Green, he's referring to Zach Lee maybe not coming back from his injury as quickly as everyone had hoped.
Have we heard exactly what the injury is, or is that hush-hush down there?
Oh, yeah, he had the... I have to look. Arm, labrum.
Torn labrum.
Shoulder, whatever it was, yeah. January surgery. I got to look back and see exactly what that was, but, yeah, to give you the correct medical term.
Well, obviously, you know, it's pretty concerning as you go back to the bowl game and how well things went offensively. Now, I don't know that Arizona's defense was that great or anything, but I do know that for the first time all year, Zach Lee looked like a capable Big 12 quarterback. For the first time all year. Let's be honest. We need one first down versus Texas. We need one first down versus Virginia Tech, something Zach Lee couldn't give us.
Well, Oklahoma wasn't a whole ball of wax till the middle of the third quarter either. Let's stay with the Dent Popper inbox here. Eric says we're talking about ways to get around in case you get pulled over for texting while driving, which is now is against the law in Nebraska. Eric says, sorry, officer. I was chiming in on the Doug and Daddy show, sending an email, or dialing 511 for road conditions. If you have a BlackBerry, you can also download V-Lingo. Press a button and say text web or email, and you say your contact and say your text, and it sends. Really cool. From his BlackBerry smartphone, Eric.
Awesome. We go back.
Sorry, I was texting the Doug and Daddy show. Well, what are those clowns doing today?
We go back to the Dent Popper inbox. This is from Tim. He says, sorry, officer, I was playing Brick Breaker.
I was playing Texas Hold'em King 2. Second edition. Playing Tetris. I'm playing Tetris. I didn't mean to hit that pedestrian over there.
Here's the deal. I got a pair of kings, but there's an ace on the board. Did you stay in? I got to know. I only got 30 seconds. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, I checked it down. What do you think? What do you think? Glad to have you along with us, Doug and Daddy show today. The Davey O'Brien watch list came out yesterday, and Nate Enderle from North Platte, there's another North Platte reference on the show, is one of the quarterbacks on this list. I begin to think that if you're a returning starting quarterback, you're on this list because that's about what you see. Jake Locker, Washington, Nathan Enderle of Idaho, both play the Huskers in the non-conference season. Five of the Big 12 quarterbacks, including Taylor Potts of Texas Tech. Some people believe Stephen Sheffield might be the starter for Texas Tech when the season begins. Blaine Gabbert, Missouri, Robert Griffin, Baylor, Jerrod Johnson, Texas A&M, and Landry Jones of Oklahoma are all on that list. Tyrod Taylor from Virginia Tech, who the Huskers played last year. Ricky Stanzi, love it or leave it, America number one, go USA. He's on the list as well. And so there you go with some of the guys that are on the O'Brien watch list there. Husker, Niles Paul. They have dropped the charge of public urination.
I got to be honest with you. Niles Paul's on the list to go to Dallas, the Big 12. That was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, and no Jared Crick and no Roy Helu. And Helu went last year. So, yeah, Nebraska is going to be taking Niles Paul, Pierre Allen, and Prince Amakamura. That's who's on the list right now. Those are the guys that will be at Big 12 Media Days. And they're all fine selections, all fine selections. I suppose Roy went last year, so let's take somebody different this year, which is a good idea. And actually, Texas Tech is taking both of their quarterbacks, which will make for interesting fodder because all the questions will be, well, which one of you is going to start? Which one? Oh, he's my buddy. He's my friend. You know, we room together, and we just hope the best for each other, and whoever wins the position, hope they lead us to a team, and whoever doesn't win the position, you know, we'll be right there in case something happens and we need to come in and carry this team. But Niles Paul, he's going to do community service for his conviction for underage drinking, 2 months shy of his 21st birthday, I believe it was. The senior wide receiver requested community service in lieu of a $400 fine, pleaded guilty to being a minor in possession of alcohol in connection with a May 28th incident. Lincoln police have said an officer spotted Niles Paul urinating on a fence. A preliminary breath test measured his blood alcohol at 0.10. 0.08 is the over-the-top limit there. Paul pleaded guilty to reckless driving following an incident in spring of 2009. So there you go. That's the latest on our football side there.
Just a little bit on Nathan Enderle. He threw for 2,906 yards a year ago, 61.5 completion rate with 22 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So, hey, get a little bit of love for a hometown boy here in Nebraska, all the way in Idaho right now as the Huskers are set to play them on September 11th.
No major moves in the last half hour on the leaderboard at the British Open. Phil Mickelson continues to hit his ball where you're not supposed to. He has stepped on 12 tee, put it in the junk, and he is even through 12. 9 back of the leader, Rory McIlroy, who shot 63 today. John Daly is 6 under. Lee Westwood's on the course at 5 under. Tiger Woods in the house at 5 under. Chris Level, RedRaidersports.com, as 12 teams in 12 days continues right after this.
Now at the Home Depot, get end-of-season savings with 25 to 50% off select patio sets. With all the money you save on the furniture, you can invest in a new grill or an umbrella to dress up your patio even more. Or, for the autumn ahead, a fire pit to add to the warm glow you'll already feel when you save 25 to 50% on select patio furniture. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Everybody knows that Acura cars and SUVs have a reputation for quality, reliability, and exceptional engineering. That's why buying a certified pre-owned Acura is such an easy decision. And it's even easier during the Engineer to Last sales event. Right now, you'll find exceptional savings on every certified pre-owned Acura, including 1.9% APR for well-qualified customers. Visit your local Acura dealer or Acura.com today. Offer ends August 3rd, 2010. See dealer for details.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving, heading up the Mead team. Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sun developing today. Slight chance for an isolated shower. Storm early, variable winds, high of 86. Low in the mid-60s tonight with partly cloudy skies. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently, it's 77.
What I'm saying is, this is the anthem. Throw all your hands up. Y'all got to feel me. Sing it.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on this Thursday. Chris Level is going to join us from RedRaiderSports.com in just a moment. But don't forget, while you're out and about and after work or just having some fun this weekend, the Courtyard is the place to be at Cunningham's Journal. Now you can enjoy Thursday night burger night. Great food there all the time. Burgers, though, tonight, along with the coldest beer in town. Can't go wrong with the low price of $5.50. Don't forget the live music every night as well. Again, they had a great band going on last night. More live music tonight, Friday and Saturday from 9 to close. The big-ass beer specials will keep you smiling all night long. Maybe you get a little different drink. They've got those foo-foo drinks out in the courtyard as well. Maybe you just want an ice-cold beer. Maybe you want something with a little kick to it. And boy, do they do love doing shots. When I say they, I mean the people that are younger than us, Daddy. It's all at Courtyard at Cunningham's Journal. Maybe you get a little skewer of steak. Maybe you get some bacon wrap. Shrimpy! Ribbies.
Prime rib sandwich.
But hey, tonight, it's a special on there. Perfectly grilled burgers. $5.50. Music, burgers, drinks. A great atmosphere. Maybe a mister on yourself.
Oh, I was just going to say the misters.
A little mister.
Big fan.
You. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Courtyard, the place to be every night, starting tonight with live music. It is time, Daddy. It's time.
And now for the last time, it's time to preview the 12 teams in 12 days on the Doug and Daddy Show's Big 12 Preview. Big 12 Media Days is fastly approaching, and Doug and Daddy will have guests from
Baylor,
Oklahoma,
Missouri,
Texas,
Colorado,
Oklahoma State,
K-State,
Texas Tech,
Kansas, Iowa State,
A&M,
and Nebraska.
Let's get you ready for Big 12 Media Days that starts on July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Not to mention, give Doug and Daddy a chance to catch up with some old friends. It's time for the Big 12 Preview on the Doug and Daddy Show.
12 teams in 12 days, and we head back to the Big 12 South with the Texas Tech Red Raiders on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, I have to admit it, I am not buying if there is hype on Texas Tech. And when we were talking previewing A&M the other day, they kind of thought maybe Tech was the dark horse. I don't see it. I'll admit it. I don't think there's going to be a good mesh here. And again, the Bill Callahan hiring continues to rear its ugly head in our analysis because I just don't see the matchup of coach and team. I was wrong once, but I don't remember when that was. But you disagree a little bit. This is going to be one of the teams that we disagree on.
Basically, you're thinking square peg, round hole, doesn't fit, don't like it. That's your philosophy. Well, let's see if that's Chris Level's philosophy from RedRaiderSports.com in Lubbock, Texas. Joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, thank you so much for the time again today, and welcome back to the show. Is it a square peg in a round hole?
Well, I think when you step back and look at why they hired Tuberville, first of all, you have to understand the whole Mike Leach situation and how ugly that was, and it still continues to be, in the court systems and all that. But Texas Tech wanted to, at the time that this was all going down, they basically, were looking at either Ruffin McNeil and promoting from within, or, a guy like Tuberville. And they wanted, a bit of a splash. And they got him at a very affordable price as far as his contract goes. He took a lot less money so he could hire two good coordinators and all those things. And there's a lot of skeptics. And it's, I guess what I've chosen to say, because I think a lot of people, they expect him to fiddle with the offense and it will not work and all those things. But what you have to remember is, he didn't start fiddling with that offense until basically the last couple of years at Auburn. People forget how that thing was humming along the first 8 years in his tenure at Auburn. And, we wondered, too, how this was going to work. And we were unfamiliar with Neil Brown, the offensive coordinator, because, Troy is not a school we talked a lot about. But Neil Brown is who the offensive coordinator is, and he played for Mike at Kentucky. He has learned under Tony Franklin. He has learned under Hal Mumme. He has learned under Mark Whipple, who is the offensive coordinator at Miami now, and so many, different people, and he's kind of pulled different things about it. In the spring, Tuberville left him alone. He also left his defensive coordinator alone. He has said, I'm at the point where I've got these guys. I'm going to be involved in some game management and whatnot, but I'm going to let these guys do their thing, and that's exactly what he did, and that included, Neil Brown on offense. So, we shall see.
Well, if Neil Brown's making that decision, will it be Potts or Sheffield?
Well, right now they don't have a decision that's going to go into – and the reason is because five practices in the spring, both of these guys got essentially hurt within, you know, a day or so from each other, and basically they missed two-thirds of the spring. At the time that they were injured, they had had four practices and one scrimmage under their belts, and Sheffield clearly had the lead, and Tuberville basically had said that. And so, again, I think they're going to, you know, start from scratch and all those things. They will not employ any sort of two-quarterback system, and if you want my opinion on it, both healthy, Stephen Sheffield is the clear-cut favorite to win that job. And you guys saw firsthand what he's capable of. And again, I just think for whatever reason, he has the pulse of this team. He's got a bit of an it factor. Not a lot of just God-given ability, but he's got a lot of moxie, and he's got some talent to go with it. And I think that equals him being a starting quarterback. And I think they're capable of winning 9 or 10 games with him as a quarterback. Whereas if you put Potts in there, based on what we've seen from him, I think the upside may only be 8 wins.
Chris Level joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show to preview Texas Tech here in our 12 teams in 12 days. Chris, it just seems apparent that the offense is going to have to click to make everybody more comfortable if they can get out of the gate. The wide receivers seem to be some good kids. The offensive line is going to be a question mark. It sounds like they like the running back situation. Can this offense, I mean, they don't have to put up 56, 63 points, but can they still do what we're used to seeing?
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's what Neil has said is, look, we don't have to, you know, with the way we're going to play defense here now, we don't have to score 45, 50 points to win games. I mean, that's Tuberville's whole philosophy, and it permeates on down. But, you know, they have everyone back on offense, the skill players, except for one receiver. They had to replace two offensive linemen. And, you know, again, the talent is up front on the offensive line. There's some inexperience in a few spots, and you just don't know, you know, that takes some time. That's why playing Texas in your third game can kind of be scary. So you just don't know what you're going to get. I think offense is not going to be the issue. I think the question mark actually is you know, on this football team is defense and how they can replace a bunch of guys on the defensive line. And so that to me is more of a question mark than, you know, will they stay productive on offense?
Chris, return 6 out of their 8 top tacklers, though, don't they, on that defense?
Yeah, they do. And you know, James Willis is a guy, you know, that's one thing that Tuberville has a track record of is hiring really good defensive coordinators. And we're all familiar with who they all are. I mean, Will Muschamp, Paul Rhodes, Gene Chizik, James Willis is now you know, the next guy. And he was at Alabama last year, won a national championship on that staff of Nick Saban's, and he played at Auburn under Tuberville and all those things. And what James wants to do is essentially, we're not going to stick with this, play 10 or 15 guys and play real conservative and keep it all in front of us. We're going to play 20 to 25 guys, and we're going to come after you. We may get burned, but bottom line is, that's going to be our MO. We're going to absolutely come after you. Their base will be a 3-4, which is different, and he will tell you that they will run multiple fronts. I mean, we saw stuff in the spring where they had a 5-man front on one play, and the next play they would show a 2-man front and everything in between. So, you know, it's a very confusing, system for the offense to try to pick up on, and that's the whole key is he wants to play chess against the opposing quarterback, and, you know, he's going to send pressure all the time, but you will not know where it comes from. Now, do they have ultimately, you know, 25 quality all-conference types? No, they don't. But I think they feel like they have good talent, and again, they're going to use all of it as opposed to trying to, you know, settle on the 10 or 15 guys and sticking with those starters.
Chris Level of RedRaidersSports.com is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, Texas Tech also has a very quirky schedule. Their last two games are actually non-conference games, which is great if you can take care of business in the conference because maybe you heal up a little bit against Weber State and then have a chance against Houston. They moved the Texas game up. It's early again this year. Is that schedule exactly like we said? It's good if they can have a winning record in the conference. What's your thoughts on that schedule?
Yeah, it's odd. You're right. It was all based on, you know, that Texas game and getting that national television money and playing a primetime game and all those things. I mean, they were supposed to play TCU on that same day. They, you know, Tech and TCU basically agreed to move the game, you know, to a year from now. But it creates a unique circumstance that you've got two non-conference games to end the season. And I will say this, that is certainly odd, and you're not going to be, you know, in the national spotlight. You finish up the season. I mean, that Houston game, I guess, will get some publicity because Houston went to a bowl last year, and they've got a Heisman candidate in Case Keenum and whatnot. But the thing, the flip side is getting Texas and getting Texas early with a brand new quarterback and some new guys on defense and things like that. That's probably much better as opposed to getting them late. You know, getting Texas early has always been, at least the track record has always been better as opposed to getting them late after they play OU when they really get it going and kind of get motivated about the goal at hand. And Tuberville has circled the game. Mike went about things about we'll play one game a week and we will not look ahead. Tuberville has absolutely circled the Texas game, and that's how what he did at Auburn, and he's put a lot of focus on that game and is actively talking about it with his players, and they know that if they are going to compete for the South Division, that is a game that they must win.
Chris, the special teams-wise, as far as a kicker, what are they going to do this year? Much is made about the kid that tried out and basically came from out of the stands to make an impact on that team a year ago. And then talk about the return game also, if you would, just following that up a little bit. I've got Eric Stevens as a preseason kick returner of the conference.
Yeah, you know, Tony, Matt Williams is still back, you know, and he actually will be a much more – talking about the place kicker, he I think missed only three attempts last year. He doesn't have a big leg, but he's accurate, you know, inside, you know, 35-40 yards. He was, for the most part, money. You get him to 45 yards or something like that, that's just probably too far. Tuberville will lean on a kid like this much more. Tuberville is going to coach the special teams, and those will be his decisions. You're not going to see these guys go for it on fourth and seven anymore. I mean, they will play some percentages now and try to be smart because they trust the defense now. And so, again, the place kicker will now, I think, have a much larger role here now than they've had before. As far as return game, yeah, absolutely. Eric Stevens set some records last year. He is a second-string running back. You know, this kid's a true sophomore, and they feel like that he will absolutely be a weapon back there in the return game. And he also practiced doing some punt return stuff in the spring as well, so they may double him up on those return duties.
Chris, just got a minute left with Chris Level here, previewing Texas Tech. Before we get your predictions on who you think will be in the championship game, your gut feeling, where do you think Tech will finish in the South?
Based on what I know right now, I would say they're going to finish second or third. I mean, I think that it's such an unknown right now. I mean, you have a lot of people buying into A&M, but they have so many questions on defense. I mean, everybody's looking at Gerard Johnson, you know, and it's just, you know, the guy took his team on the road last year and they got beat by 60 points and twice. I mean, so but so many people do like him because he's the one guy that you have to look at that is back. And Oklahoma and Texas are usually the standard, but they have tons of questions as well. I mean, so many of these, this Sooner team got pounded here in Lubbock, Texas last year, and their best players went to the NFL in the first round, you know, and so it's just interesting. And you know, with Texas, we know how well they recruit, but you just can't replace a guy like Colt McCoy. You cannot do it. So, you know, again, it's just kind of I do think this. I do think Oklahoma State is probably the last place team in the conference. I really firmly believe that. Because they lost everyone, and I think Baylor is probably that next tier. Where the next four teams finish is anyone's guess, but I think you'll see, you know, a couple of teams finish in second. Now, as far as a prediction goes, I would probably tell you that you have to go with Texas at this point. But, you know, again, I don't feel real comfortable with that prediction. Let me just say that.
Chris Level, RedRaiderSports.com. Chris, we'll ask you right now, who do you see in that championship game in Dallas, and who are your offensive and defensive players of the year in the conference?
Well, I would tell you that, again, I'll just take, like I said, I'll take Texas. I don't feel real good about that, and I mean, I think it's a no-brainer that you have to take Nebraska right now. Again, I think that Missouri is going to cause some folks some problems, but they just seem to have the most answer. There's some questions, obviously, with that Husker football team, but they seem to have more answers than most of the other teams, and I like what they did to finish it up against Arizona in the bowl game and whatnot. As far as, you know, conference players of the year, I would probably tell, or preseason-wise, I would have to say, and again, I don't feel, that's why this league is so wide open, I don't feel real good about it, but I would say Gerard Johnson. There's so much upside there, I think he's going to have to put up some points. He's going to put up some numbers, but the quarterback at A&M, and then defensively, I would probably say you guys, defensive end, Jared Crick, would probably be my guy.
Chris, always appreciate the time. I do want to get this out there. Where's the Mike Leach situation with the school right now?
It's still tied up, and they're basically kind of haggling over. They basically the last step is that one of the appeals in the latest ruling by the judge here in Lubbock has been sent to a court in Amarillo to be ruled on. We're kind of waiting to see. I don't know if this thing's going to end anytime soon. We keep being told that if because of the rulings to this point right now, that if Mike were to win, that what he can win has really been minimized by what the judge has ruled on so far about what grounds he can sue on and all that. So, a lot of people don't think Mike is going to ultimately win, but if he does, he's going to get, $15 million that he was hoping for. It may only be in the $2 million range, and again, that's a big if that he would win. But right now he's living in Key West with his family, riding a bicycle around, doesn't have a car down there, and I'm telling you a true story. That's just the way Mike Leach rolls. But a lot of talk in Stillwater, Oklahoma, that he could emerge there as the head coach with his former offensive coordinator, Dana Holgorsen, now there. So I don't know, we shall see. It could be an interesting November and December if things don't go well in Stillwater.
Chris Level, RedRaiderSports.com. Chris, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks so much again from the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, absolutely, guys. You guys do a great job. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Level, RedRaiderSports.com, as we preview Texas Tech. 12 teams in 12 days here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Daddy, what do we got tomorrow?
Oh, we've got a fan favorite. Gabe DeArmond, PowerMizzou.com.
If you hate Mizzou, he hates you, so it'll be great. We'll be talking with Gabe on the show tomorrow, and that'll be fun talking Missouri. But Texas Tech, Daddy, again, I don't see it. And again, I don't know if it's because of the shades of what we saw with Callahan and then Mike Sherman not being very successful the first year at Texas A&M. I just don't see it. Texas Tech might be able to chuck the ball around. They're going to have to hope that they can throw the ball around to these talented quarterbacks, can have some talented receivers, and that they got a line that can block for them, because I just don't see it happening.
I'm going to reserve judgment until about 3 or 4 weeks in. I think Tommy Tuberville's been a good coach. I think he's proven that.
That's not what I'm saying, and I want that point made right now. I'm not saying Tuberville's not a good coach. I'm saying you're taking, almost an option. I mean, imagine if Callahan would have come in after Devaney. That's kind of what I see here, just a totally different system. And this is the team I really want to learn more about when we are in Dallas, is Texas Tech.
Well, we'll see. I think if he's leaving that offensive coordinator alone, maybe they're going to throw it around a little bit more than you think in that system.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Missouri, we're about halfway home now with our 12 teams in 12 days. And that's coming up tomorrow. We talk Texas with Chip Brown on Monday. We got Colorado Tuesday. And we roll right on there, Oklahoma next Wednesday. And, of course, a week from Friday, the last day, we will preview Nebraska with our annual Husker Round Table. But, Daddy, we keep on going as every Thursday at this time. Joe DiMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us. And it's a good time to transition football, baseball. Joe, I think it's okay to go get your magazine. It's okay to subscribe to FantasyPlayersEdge.com. It's okay to start talking fantasy football as of this week. If you were doing it beforehand, you're really kind of a geek. What do you think?
Yeah, you're spot on. it's exactly the time to start getting cranked up on fantasy football, the granddaddy of them all, and start getting ready for your drafts, get your planning done. It's never too early to begin, and it's always too late if you wait till the last minute.
Joe, I guess we're going to start with a baseball question because we've got an important, urgent message. This deal goes
all. Did I build up? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
It goes all the way across. Urgent, urgent. Ask Joe fast. Russ had to make this trade. His pitching was so bad the first half of the season. He had to make this trade. Is it a dumb trade? And he spelled dumb, D-U-M. So you can decide on that. He traded Henley Ramirez for Ubaldo Jimenez and Clint Barmas from Colorado.
Well, obviously Clint Barmas is not going to fill in admirably for Henley Ramirez, but if you need pitching, you have to give somebody to get something. Right now, as statistics go, Ubaldo Jimenez is, if not the best pitcher in baseball, right there with Josh Johnson, Holiday, and the others. So not knowing the full complement of offensive players that you have and not knowing if this is a keeper league, the answer is I don't think it's DUM dumb at all. I think it's a decent trade if it's a yearly league and you can cover Hamley's production in some way, but please cut Clint Barmas and go out and find someone else you can plug in for free agency. He's not the answer.
Joe, with Tulowitzki coming back, will Barmas move to second, or what are they going to do with him?
Yes, most likely he will move to second. It's a nice problem to have for them. I think you're trying to get Eric Young Jr. back in the fold as well, play a little second, play in the outfield. Tulo, of course, is their starting shortstop. Let's make no mistake about that. You still got to find places for Ian Stewart to play. So Colorado has a nice problem of playing extremely well and getting their players back. I mean, they've made this run essentially without Tulo. So it's been interesting.
Joe DiMaio joins us from Fantasy Players Edge, as he does every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, we talked a little bit about it last week. You said, you know what, All-Star break, take your couple of days off. Don't be looking at the computer all the time. Yesterday was the day to kind of get your team ready for the second half of the season. So today, some teams are back in action. Need to make sure and have your lineups in and ready to go for the second half today.
Absolutely. It's a very short schedule, but don't be caught short-sighted. There are players active today, especially if you're in a head-to-head format. Most head-to-head formats, guys, are actually competing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's a four-day game, and you want to make sure you don't lose anything on Thursday. In theory, if you want to take this week, stream a pitcher every day, get the jump on your opponent, take the worst pitcher you have, go to tomorrow's probable, take the best pitcher off there, and do that for 3 days in a row. You're almost certain to take strikeouts that way, and if you're lucky enough to garner an extra win or two, you'll actually walk away with 8 or 9 points this week on a short week. Take advantage of the short week by piling on.
Joe, I don't know if we've went over the short day question and what that obviously means. Fantasy players know that, but when you don't have a full contingent of games, which you see a lot on Mondays and Thursdays, there might only be 3, 4, 5 games. There's no way can have a full roster. What do you do in those situations on those certain days? You just take it as it goes and it all evens out?
Well, in head-to-head formats, the way I manage a week in advance. What I do is I'll take a look at travel days Monday and Thursday. Typically, I have 10 guys that I like to play every day. They're just my starters. But I'll also have 2 or even 3 players on the bench. It's those 3 players on the bench that I'll play around with. So let's say it's Thursday now. I'll actually go to next Monday, take a look at who's the holes I have on my roster because they're traveling. And the 3 players that I use or I rotate, if they're not playing in a game that day as well, on Sunday, I will actually drop them and pick up a free agent that's going to be playing on Monday. So I'll always have 3 additional players available to me each and every day. It's a way I get a jump on all my opponents. They'll typically ride the roster. If only 5 guys are playing, they'll go with 5 guys. Typically, if I only have 5 of my starters playing, I'll end up with 8 playing because I'll have my 5 starters plus the 3 guys I rotate from my bench position. I'm not worried about losing a player. I don't care if I drop Rajai Davis and Josh Willingham. Someone picks them up. It doesn't matter to me. I have my core players, and then I have 3 players that I rotate every week to make sure that I maximize my ABs on Mondays and on Thursdays.
Joe DiMaio from FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, I'm turning to football now. When you're getting ready for your league and you see a list of the top 100, whether it's Fantasy Players Edge, whether it's a magazine you picked up somewhere, how much different does that list become according to the league you're in? Whether you're in a head-to-head, whether you're in a total points for the year, whether you're in a points-only league like Doug and I are, whether you're in a keeper league?
Well, look, the key element here is the venue. If you buy in a magazine, it's old news. So a lot of things could have happened. Well, you remember they publish a good month in advance. So in that magazine could be a lot of misleading data and rankings that aren't quite as relevant as you'd like them to be. They're typically decent guideposts, but I don't think it's relevant enough information. It's good maybe to rip out the cheat sheets and then modify them based on what's happening over the course of the preseason, both with injuries, exhibition, utilization, all those things. I would recommend more going to a site, doesn't have to be the Edge, any site you trust, and following that site and using their player rankings, as long as they're a site that updates player rankings on a continuous basis. Like, we will update the rankings after every week of preseason, or if any news, you know, occurs, to try to give people, when they go into their draft rooms, real current, pertinent information, you know, based on what's actually happening on the field, whether it be injury, utilization issues, contract issues, those type of things. I don't want to put the publishing business out of business, but I don't think it's relevant to bring a magazine into a draft room without having at least a strong site that you follow, so you can use both of those guides to create a current list to select from.
Like FantasyPlayersEdge.com, of course, folks. And check it out. All kinds of information is up there. Joe's made a little change on the baseball side. You can email him directly for your questions. He always gets right back to you. And we heard from folks the last couple of years that, hey, Joe answered my question, even though I wasn't, you know, on your show. Well, here's one for you on the show, also football, where you can go on FantasyPlayersEdge.com. They've got the player rankings there, but I'll let you answer the email here, Joe. EJ in Grand Island says, who's your number one and number two tight end fantasy prospects for the upcoming season?
EJ, that's a terrific question. Let me start by saying that tight end, I feel, is one of the deepest positions in fantasy football of this season. We definitely like Dallas Clark at the top of the venue, followed by Vernon Davis, Antonio Gase, Jason Witten, Brett Feller. But don't reach for Clark. You don't have to. This list goes down. You got quality tight ends at 6, Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow, Owen Daniels if he's healthy. Jermichael Finley in Green Bay will come up big. Shianko, if Favre comes back. Chris Cooley is number 11. So you have...
Chris Cooley sucks, Joe. I'm going to say that right now. Chris Cooley sucks.
Don't box yourself in. With McNabb this year, there's going to be a big difference.
Right. I agree with you there.
There's going to be a change in Louise this year. Jason Campbell, Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb made L.J. Smith a household name, as well as Brent Celek last year. Don't box yourself in. Cooley's going to drop like a stone this year. Chris Cooley makes perfect sense, especially if you're getting him around 12 or 13.
Yeah, this year. I was just making a point that I always see on all these rankings that Chris Cooley ends up being number 5, and nobody drafts him. You look at it and you scratch out as they pick him. 18 tight ends are gone, and the only guy left is Chris Cooley. So I have to chuckle because and I think maybe he will be one of those guys that finally, if you do pick him up this year, but I've taken him a couple times because he's still there, and I just scratch my head. But
that's why Doug doesn't cash either,
that's
Joe.
That's why I'm not very good. That is true.
Well, Doug, we rank him 11, you know, so it isn't like we have number 4.
Right.
But, I mean, it just shows you and EJ how deep this pool is of tight ends. What? I would not reach for Dallas Clark in round 5. A lot of these guys are going to reach for him in round 5, around 4, to have the top tight end. I say that's a bit short-sighted. Top 5, take another big-name running back or wide receiver or even pick up your first quarterback there. If somebody gets him, they get him. I mean, you can be stuck with Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow, Jermichael Finley. And worst case, you can be saddled with Chris Cooley with a Donovan McNabb overhang. This is a deep, deep position this year.
Hey, you know, Joe, I'm going to throw one at you. The tight end from Detroit and Pettigrew.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about him is they brought in Tony Sheffield from Denver.
True.
And it makes me a little nervous when you got that type of situation, because Sheffield is known as a receiving tight end. I think Pettigrew is going to be one of the fine young TEs in football over the next few years. Certainly with Matthew Stafford developing he should develop into a decent quarterback. I don't think this is a big year for Pettigrew, but I think Pettigrew is one of those TEs that are going to move up the list as the years progress.
Joe, great stuff. And again, if they want to know something outside of a Thursday, they can email you. They can get a hold of you at fantasyplayersedge.com. Football, baseball, it's getting into that exciting time of the year. In the next month, all kinds of drafts are going to be going on, and Joe is the man to follow. Joe, take care. Enjoy baseball here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, you guys are phenomenal. Thanks a lot. And like you said, just come on over, ask a question, or send something to the Doug and Daddy email box or any of those things. We're excited and happy to do it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it enormously. Have a wonderful week. I'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Joe DiMeo every Thursday joins us at this time on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we'll take a final look at the leaderboard. Phil Mickelson can't do anything. Rory McIlroy got off to a great start, 9-under-63. Still has a two-shot lead today over Louis Oosthuizen. And then a group at 5 and 6 under. Tiger Woods is at 5 under. We'll finish up our day's news and wrap up the program right after this.
Hi, it's Colin Coward, host of The Herd. Well, I just got married. You know what everybody said at the wedding? Man, you look great. You know what I said? P90X. My energy at an all-time high. Lost an inch on my waist and 7 pounds, and I wasn't a guy that needed to lose a ton of weight. Then, how about this story about my friend and fellow ESPN radio host, Mike Golic? Mike was telling me about his changes he's seen in his blood work since doing P90X. He's a type 2 diabetic, but after his first 90 days using P90X, his doctor, who's also doing P90X, by the way, told him he's almost able to get off the meds. Plus, he lost over 20 pounds. Remember to talk to your doctor before starting P90X, and everybody's results will be different. Folks, try it out. No risk. 90-day guarantee of satisfaction, but only if you order it now. It works. 1-800-301-P90X. 1-800-301-P90X. Or go to ESPNRadio.com/Colin. ESPNRadio.com/Colin.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Complete Nutrition is extending the 30% off Reveal Extreme sale. Summer's here, and whether you're hitting the beach, lake, or pool, Complete Nutrition wants to remind you there's still time to lose weight for this summer. Reveal Extreme is the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine. And the makers of Reveal are so confident in this product, they're extending their offer of 30% off Reveal Extreme for the entire month of July. There's still time to lose weight fast for swimsuit season. And with 30% off through the month of July, now's the perfect time to get to Complete Nutrition and pick up Reveal Extreme today. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, discontinue use.
For a limited time, receive a free bottle of water pills with purchase of Reveal only at Complete Nutrition in Kearney on 2nd Avenue north of Sun Mart.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
There's a little flare into left field. It'll be a hit. And the run is in.
And the secret weapon does it again. The Royals take the lead 2-1.
And hit into the alley in right center field. Ichiro going over, but it is gone. A home run into the seats in right center.
Hi, everybody. This is Denny Matthews of the Royals.
This is Bob Davis.
This is Steve Stewart.
Join us for the next game brought to you in part by Builders Kearney in Grand Island.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation, 1460 and 1550.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sun developing today. Slight chance for an isolated shower. Storm early. Variable winds. High of 86. Low in the mid-60s tonight with partly cloudy skies. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Currently, it's 77.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Phil Bogey, is that what he did when he missed that short putt?
About the seventh one today, I think.
Rory McIlroy, 9-under. Oosthuizen, Louis Oosthuizen, 7-under. And let's take a look at the leaderboard and see who else is doing some things here. Not a lot of major changes. 6-under for John Daly, who was one of the first ones out today. Andrew Coulthard, still 5-under for Bradley Dredge. Lee Westwood trying to do some things. Daddy Tiger Woods, 5-under today. What do you think?
Positions himself perfectly. Says he's going to let the momentum of the round carry him through. He couldn't win it today, but you can certainly lose it like Phil has. Tiger's right where he wants to be, right up the top, towards the top, just lurking in the weeds.
Y.E. Yang, 5-under in the house. Peter Hansen, Lee Westwood, both 5-under. They are in the on the court at this time.
I guess you should say not really lurking in the weeds, more lurking in the wispies. I did get to hear him say wispies today, which I love every year at this time. It is absolutely pouring rain, by the way, at the Open Championship right now.
It just unloaded. If you're on the course now, it is no fun. Richard Schneider of Beamer birdied the final three holes yesterday in the final round to win the 42nd Nebraska Junior Amateur by one shot. I guess that's the way you do it. These kids are getting good, Daddy. Schneider shot a 5-under 66 yesterday to win it by one shot over Bryce Brown of Lincoln. Zach Taylor of Omaha at one point yesterday made seven birdies in an eight-hole stretch. And he's 18. Of course, Joey Chicago is playing in the British Open, and he's 18.
Wasn't Bryce Brown that five-star linebacker?
Riley Reinertsen shot 71-71-70 on the par 71 course. One under par for the tournament.
You make me sick, kid.
Fourth. He's going to be a freshman. He's going to be a freshman in high school.
So you're saying those guys are 18. What's he, 13?
14? Probably. Maybe 15. Probably 15. Tyler Dowling of Kearney. Shot
good for him. 36. Great rounds.
Made the cut. And finished yesterday. American Legion Baseball tonight on 1230 AM KHAS. Kearney and Hastings 5 points in the A7 senior at North Platte. Kearney the number one seed. Then Twin Cities plays North Platte. The A7 juniors tournament begins this evening at Kearney's Memorial Field. Hastings and Twin Cities at 5:30. Three-time defending state champion Kearney Post 52 will take on North Platte at 8 o'clock. And just about everybody else is in action. A few of the games were rained out. They're being moved around, but there's baseball all over the place when it comes to the juniors.
Good time of the year to wrap things. I mean, you can't believe once these baseball tournaments are over with, it is football. I mean, it is football practice time already.
Well, you know what time it is? Merle Haggard time, people. That's right. Working Man Blues. You know the song that your mom sings a lot, Mama Tried? You know, she tried.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
No.
They told me that's Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, chicken guy. Yeah. There you go.
Convoy. I don't think that's Merle Haggard either.
That's Nebraska's own C.W. McCall. Hey, we want to thank Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com for joining us on the program today. Chris Level of RedRaidersSports.com to preview Texas Tech. Our 12 teams in 12 days continues tomorrow with Missouri. PowerMizzou.com. Gabe Darmond, if you want a rival, he's it. David Miller will also join us tomorrow as he gets ready to go into the Nebraska High School Wrestling Hall of Fame. And another chance to win tickets and get qualified for the Cox Classic. Daddy, be okay, all right? You have a great day, okay?
Enjoy the concert and enjoy our show tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.